The centaur twists her rump round in thick hands. Her legs astraggle, eyes wide and staring, strong arms pushing hard against his matted chest. He bares his teeth, a wild grin nestling his shaggy head toward hers, which is half twisted off, snorting with desire for that elusive hole. I step back, embarrassed. A gentleman, hooked back round as a question mark, steps up, tenderly craning his neck, alive with his forceful artistry.
I have never seen Picasso's Guernica, never stood in the presence of a master. I have not seen a silver gelatin photograph of the artist by his lover, that intent face, the eyes, the brush, a live extension of the arm, a reproduction, websites, ghostly ekphrases, a gaping hole where was the painting or its shouting absence, the painter or his double, made of chemicals and light. At Guernica, the bombs fell and fell. If you type Guernica into Google, you get 8,930,000 hits. History, sculpture, woodcut, music, novel, film, Hemingway. A club, a bar, a press, an art magazine, as well as the painting by Picasso. What could the young pilots of the Luftwaffe and Aviazione Legionaria, their purses light, a throb in their hearts, the genius of their masters, see from the air? No more than I. Outside the MCA at dusk, the sky mirror is empty and flat as a depression. From an extreme angle, we catch a flicker of skyscraper blue. Inside, I am sliced into red by the almost invisible motion of steel. I lured my friend into this machine that carves history out of our flesh. Skirting around a universe being born, I wonder what to make of a long rectangle of indigo blue. I don't even know at first that I'm on the edge of a void. Only my reluctant attentiveness, the effort to be still and the impossibility of being so, allow me to see nothing. I am split into infinity by giant prisms. Shattered, bent, distorted, joined, separated, repeated, endlessly abstracted. A suited man thins on the margins of my silvery fatness. More and more mirrors implicate us in the making of what we see. There's no sign here, only the discipline of not touching the sight swelling of a pregnant white wall. A rusting hulk pushes out the gallery walls. Memory is hard to get around. It clangs and echoes, smells like an old iron bunker, is bigger and scarier on the inside. Sunday, there's a southerly change. Driving over the bridge, and almost too late, I look for the sky mirror. White clouds rolling fast across a pale disk of greying blue, I roll down the window, yelling, "Now I can see it, I can see the sky."
Today the clouds lifted off the sky mirror and shimmered, just above it, like mist. Was it the sprinkler in front, or the clouds above, or the mysterious curve of the disk? I've been patient with this great silver disc, withholding its secrets, going back and back again, walking around it, back and forth, waiting. It loves to tease, to make me work for my pleasure. The blue flat rectangle at first gave a blue surface, and then an illusion of movement underneath, and finally a gorgeously curved tunnel receding and shifting, spiralling away from me in a perfect tubular encircling motion, contracting and expanding, orgasmic in response to my swaying body. The flat red rectangle is a gorgeous deep red, no more than that. The water tells me it's a hole, more than a metre deep, and Kapoor is teasing us because the eye can't make its way in. I beg her to let me put my finger into the void, but she won't let me, won't even put her own finger in for me, so I can see it's the truth she's telling me, my eye longing for proof. I'm amazed at my own cowardice, my arm staying by my side. The multiple diamond shapes of polished steel fracture the viewers into hundreds of themselves, then settle the hundreds into an image, multiple and one at the same time. A single and same voice for the whole thousand-voiced multiple, a single and unique ocean for all the drops, a single clamour of being for all beings. Someone tells me it's the eye of a mosquito, and I look with Deleuze and mosquito eyes. The others in the room are vital, splitting and multiplying, a vivid scarf multiplying, a sensuous black curl on nape of neck, repeating itself in gorgeous abundance across the mosquito's eye, letting me see what's there by bending and swaying, asking me to stand where they've been standing, because it's not the same where I'm standing, and it's hard to believe this smooth surface can do that. They smile bemused, reaching out their hands when I cannot, and they disappear into a vortex upside down, swirled around, there and in a flash, not there. The pregnant belly, swelling from the wall, asks me to stroke it, and for once there's no sign that says, do not touch. I content myself with seeing the perfection of its swelling body and its oneness with the wall. I don't want to risk dirty finger marks on its white, smooth surface. I long to have a wall that swells just like that. Just like that. The perfect shape that holds me in its embrace. Lurking behind the shining perfection, under my skin and behind my eye, is the bloody slaughterhouse, grinding blood and meat in a relentless, gritty, clockwork motion, enough to make one vomit into the red blood earth. A room full of rusting hand grenade under the earth, a dangerous time bomb, inviting memory. Outside, a window into its empty interior opens into echoing darkness, a thousand silent voices held tight in the gloomy emptiness. I become the silence. I come again to the void with my son, who leans into it and whoops and whistles, filling the echoing chamber. Warders rush to hush our clamour. The other viewers are disturbed. Elated and crestfallen, we retrace our steps back through the curving, shining, distorting, multiplying surfaces, holding them close to enfold them in memory. Drawn back again and again, I make myself vulnerable to the impossible, teasing, withholding, distorting surfaces and sudden shocking revelations.